Many blessings and welcome to the Spiritual Sense podcast. My name is Brother Michael and I'm here with our lovely sister Shireen. Hello.
Hello, Michael.
Today we are discussing comfort. Comfort is the enemy. Now, before you freak out about this, we're not trying to take away your coffee and have you not have any sleep or anything like that, right? But what we're getting into today is if you feel stuck and like you're not reaching your potential and you feel like a little bit held back, a little bit of stuck, stagnant energy, there's a reason for that. And there's a wonderful expression, you can either have comfort or meaning. Because if we are overly sensitive to having comfort, cozy, convenience, we won't be able to do some of the things that will give us the most meaning and joy in life. And America, as much as it has many, many wonderful things and conveniences, which I personally appreciate and no doubt you appreciate as well, right? Let's be honest, we love our comforts, we really do. However, it comes at a price that if we say, oh, but I can't do anything slightly more tedious because it's outside of my comfort zone, then we end up trapped in a box, trapped in a cage of our comforts. So in this session, we're going to be talking about how can we expand out into a bigger life, a more meaningful life, a more expansive, joyful, liberated life, and how can we get out of comfort without giving up all our comforts, because obviously being sleep deprived and sleeping on the floor outside with the mosquitoes is probably a bad idea.
We're not asking you to do that.
No need to do that, right?
I mean, if you're into camping and that kind of stuff, yes, of but course. Otherwise, no.
Yeah, you need to throw away, sell all your stuff, and no, we're not going to get into that. So tell us all about this. Comfort is the enemy. What's your experience with this? There's no magic quick fix.
There is no magic quick fix. I feel we all have to be very discerning these days. Right? In any area, we have to be very discerning because people tend to oversell. Let's take a diet pill, right? So I can clearly discern what's happening in spirituality. If there's a snake oil salesman trying to sell me something, I'm not going to fall for it.
Right.
But let's say I want to lose weight and I'm desperate to lose weight, then I might fall for a guy who's, you know, or a person, a person who's trying to sell me a magic quick fix to lose weight,
right?
And so in all in any area of our life, we have certain blind spots, right? I don't know everything about everything in life.
No,
so in some areas, we might fall for it.
You don't know everything about everything? so we all have blinds. There's a lot of things. We're specialists in some areas, but
can't be specialists in all areas.
Because it would take 50 lives to help.
Yes.
You know?
And so, how do I know what is really working in any area? Right? Mm-hmm. What works?
Right.
What works in any area is that is what we need to find out, because that is when comfort is our enemy. Right. When we say comfort is our enemy, we don't really, of course, mean you give up your bed or anything, but is in areas where you need improvement. And like, let's say spirituality, we have a lot of experience and many of our listeners might not have that that much experience. And don't fall for the quick fix.
Right.
Because people oversell.
Yeah.
Right. People oversell.
Yeah.
And don't fall for the quick fix and see through the sell, you know, S-E-L-L, see through the sell. Because if you see through the sell, you will be able to find the gem. I'm not saying give up, not listen to anyone, listen to people. They might have wonderful things to share, but you have to see through the sell and pick up the nuggets, the gold nuggets. And not fall for the quick fix, because there is no quick fix.
No,
there's absolutely no quick fix.
There's no magic bullet. There's no special magic thing. This is something that anyone who's good at anything whether it's sports or meditation or, you know, doctors, you know, health and related things or microphone or anything, there's a whole process of levels of mastery involved in it that goes on and on and on, and it keeps on going. And people who don't know anything about it think that there's one magic thing. What I remember learning this many years ago, that human beings have a built-in tendency to believe in one-step solutions. Like winning the lottery is like a one-step solution to wealth, right?
But it's not, right?
Well, it isn't really, but that's
no,
the idea.
You know why it isn't? Because right now there is a lot of research on lottery winners. You think it's a quick thing, but no, many people have lost their wealth very soon. They lose their wealth right soon afterwards. Well, so it's not.
No.
So even if you think that is a one-step solution, oh, go buy a lottery ticket and you'll have wealth, no, you won't in the long term.
No, you won't. No, you won't.
That's what research has proven, that no, you don't have in the long
term. Yeah, most of them lose everything. I mean, there's some fascinating stories out there, you know, and they get screwed over by their family and they buy random stupid stuff and people steal it and they end up overdosing on... I mean, it's just awful what happens to a lot of them. But the ego, the human mind, wants to have a one step. It wants to say, if in order for me to get this outcome, there must be some magic thing I don't know about. And once I understand what that magic thing is, or I get that magic thing, then I'll get that result. That's what we all want to believe. And even though we know it's nonsense, we still believe it on some level, in areas where we're not sophisticated. And that's a problem with politics, isn't it? They have to sort of sell the idea that there's these simple solutions to problems, when there isn't really any simple solutions to anything. Is there, realistically?
There is no simple solution.
Like, you know, like, what are you going to do to solve any problem? There's probably like 150 complicated steps with tons of trade-offs. And average person hasn't got, you know, 5,000 hours to go through all the thick water documents to try and get a sense of all the...
You're absolutely right. We don't have time to go through all of that.
Right.
But we can be discerning.
Yeah.
That's the thing, right? If that is where comfort is your enemy.
Yeah.
If you're sitting in your comfort, then you can't discern.
No.
But you step out of it and understand there are multi-layered solutions and many steps to this. Like, internally you start accepting it, right? Then intuitively you will find the right thing for you.
Then you'll be able to learn what the steps are. I mean, there's normally like maybe like 10 big steps involved in a lot of things. Like losing weight, there's going to be certain dietary things, certain exercise things, certain things to avoid, consistency, blah, 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 blah. And if it's done long enough, it will have a beneficial effect. But people don't want to wait for a year, so they want the pill. And there are pills nowadays, apparently, that suppress people's appetite. I mean, I've heard about these pills. People eat them, they don't want to eat anything, they lose a bunch of weight, and they're really popular. But then they have side effects.
Right.
So that's why comfort is your enemy and there's no quick fix. They're related things, because we think there's going to be one or two steps. And that's just nonsense. And the other thing I've noticed with... because I've been working with people with personal development for so many years, that most people seem to want to get the results, but they don't want to change anything about their life. Right? And when I talk to them about this, they admit that's what's going on. And I mean, it happens to me as well. But you see how ridiculous it is. Everyone wants to... So what do you want? Oh, I want to feel better. I want to have better looking health. And I want to have more money. And I want this and this and this. And then you say, okay, so if you want that, then here is like the 12, 15 steps you have to do to get that. And then everyone goes, I don't want to do any of those
things. right, because we're used to comfort.
Yeah.
You know, there was this in our meditation center. Let's call this Brother Tim. Brother Tim used to come to the meditation center, and one day he came and told me, I'm not going to do this meditation anymore. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, what happened? Why? He said, it's too hard. Right? I went to this other guru, and the other guru said, I just need to sit in my joy, and joy will come to me. Right? And I looked at him and I said, you really think that you just sit, you said joy and joy will come to you? Right?
It's a good start.
It's a good start, but yeah, it's not a sustainable thing, no. Right?
What if it doesn't come?
What if it doesn't come? No, but, and then, you know, why did I feel that that was not going to work in the long term? Is, I think it was Carl Sagan or someone who said this, when there's darkness in the soul, you can't just put light on it. You can't just imagine light, right? That's what he was doing, is just imagining light, or like imagining joy, right? You have to shine a light on all the dark spaces in the soul that's taking your sorrow away, your joy away, and move that sorrow out to be able to experience the joy. Right? Right, and that's a few steps.
Yeah, it is.
Like, you shine a light, you see what are the dark spots, what is the removing your joy from life, and then, you know, invite joy into your life. It can't just be, I'm sitting here and thinking of joy and joy will come.
No, I mean, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. And so that's what it is. Like, that is the comfort, right? Because what I felt with this Brother Tim, was that he was not able to, like, some of the meditation practice gives you discomfort in the beginning.
It does.
Right? And he wasn't willing to sit through the discomfort. He wasn't willing to walk through the discomfort. That was too discomfortable. He was just used to not having any discomfort. Mm-hmm. And he was used to having a very comfortable life, and that was too much.
Right.
Right? And he gave up so much, I feel, right? Because in the long run, what are you going to get out of the other ones? Nothing, right? And so he gave up so much because he did so much work on himself.
Right.
And then just when it was going to start paying off, you are all discombobulated about a little discomfort.
Exactly, you know, right. But it passes, doesn't it?
Right.
And then you end up with all these benefits. And then also your capacity expands to a higher level.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that discomfort, right, just live through the discomfort.
Yeah.
Any discomfort, anywhere, right? Let's say I'm trying to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And I get up in the morning and I'm trying to change my diet and I'm hungry and... or I want to eat carbs and I don't want to eat this, but I have to eat this. Like, there's changing my diet, there's discomfort.
Right.
And how many people give up on that discomfort? Just live through it.
Yeah, it's normally like not even that long.
Exactly.
It might be a couple of weeks, you know, maybe a month or even a few days.
Right.
Places.
So just mentally prepare yourself to live through the discomfort.
Right.
When you mentally prepare yourself to live through the discomfort, then you will reap the rewards.
Yeah, yeah. This is such. We should do a podcast just on how to deal with discomfort, actually, because this is might be one of the most important topics that there is, because it's especially with all these, you know, devices.
This right? Is, this absolutely. Is, instant gratification.
This is like, so I can be sitting here trying to do something a bit difficult and I can feel discomfort. And my immediate reaction is quite like, if it's the internet's turned on and I have this in my hand, it's quite possible that I'll think, well, I don't want to feel this. I'm going to deal. But then I don't actually come out of the... There's a threshold has to be broken through. I remember, like, we did another podcast about something, I can't remember what it was called, but we were doing one about meditation and going beyond, right? And I sat there in those meditation classes and I couldn't go beyond, and I felt quite annoyed about it, actually. But I'd stuck with it long enough, and then I had a breakthrough and it totally changed my life, right? But I had to deal with that kind of feeling of failure. Like, I wasn't like getting where I wanted to long enough. And I think that's the issue, isn't it? You have to not get what you want and feel bad temporarily.
I know, and be okay with it.
Yeah.
be okay with it, be neutral, right? Yeah. Don't think, oh, I'm a failure, this and that. That's just not useful.
It's the same thing when I'm helping entrepreneurs and people get their work out. They try something, and they're, oh, well, people didn't like it, it didn't work. And I'm like, yeah, but anyone who's become successful has typically set up like 17 businesses on average. 17, right? So why do you think the first thing you do is going to be an out of the park success? You know, and I think we apply that same logic. We want one step and we want it to work immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But that's actually, I think that's because of, it's because of these. These phones actually do have one step solutions. You click on, you scroll up and you press the app and then you get the solution, right? So we're applying this mentality to very complicated things in life and wondering why it's not the same. I think that's partly why it is, actually. This has set the bar of comfort.
Very low.
well, it's very low or very high, depending on what it is. Like this, the bar is you want instant gratification in under 2 seconds.
Right.
And whereas realistically, we're talking about things that might be weeks or months or possibly even years. And so if you can embrace discomfort and longer periods of time, then life has a lot more meaning, doesn't it? It gets a lot bigger. You know, we might feel weird for fairly reasonable amount of time, and to even stick with it within that period.
And be okay with the discomfort.
Yeah.
Just lean into it. Lean into the discomfort. Right. That is the most important thing I can tell anyone in any area.
Mm-hmm.
Any area, right? Just lean into the discomfort.
Right.
Because that's where your salvation is. That's where your breakthrough is.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't lean into the discomfort, then you will not have a breakthrough.
So instead of running away from it, you just say, give it to me, basically. Let me have it. It's actually often not that bad.
Right. We make a big deal out of it in our heads.
It's not really that. But like I had a personal trainer recently, and I remember I'd written down on a piece of paper, right? My like every year, I write down what I want for the year to focus on. And for probably about 9 years, I was wrote, I need to like look after my health and do more weightlifting and stuff like that for my health. And I never did anything about it. nothing at all, right? And then finally I got a personal trainer, because I thought, I'm obviously not doing this on my own. So I got a personal trainer and I didn't want to go. I mean, I remember that the first session, I'm like, oh my God, what am I getting into here? You know, and I went in and she was very sweet. And she's like, okay, there's these different machines and lift these weights and let's just see how strong you are. And it wasn't that bad, actually. And then I went back again, and then my capacity got bigger. Like, it's not a big deal, but in our mind, we're making it a big deal. It such a thing. Oh, it's going to be so hard. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, I'm not. And sometimes just like getting some weights and just doing a quick round for like 10 seconds. It's not that hard. It doesn't hurt.
No.
What are we doing? But we've got this built-in, I don't know what to call it, but it's almost like an obsession or a paranoia around any amount of unpleasant feelings. And we're not willing to just deal with it temporarily.
Right.
Even tiredness. I mean, I don't like being tired, but it does pass. It goes in waves, doesn't it?
You know, absolutely.
It's like you think, oh, I can't stay awake. Oh, what's going on? But then it goes away.
Right, right.
You know
I was listening to you. I was thinking about tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We always think, oh, we have to tolerate other people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually have to tolerate our own drama queens mm-hmm. inside.
Right?
We can totally be drama queens inside.
Yeah.
And we have to tolerate that and tell the drama queen, hey, relax,
it's okay.
Not time for you to come out right now. Just relax.
Yeah.
I can deal with this.
It's going to be all right.
It's going to be totally all right. There will be minor discomfort, but I will be able to see through it. I think it was Richard Bandler. You know, the person who invented NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. I think it was him. And he was sharing about overcoming smoking. He had a smoking addiction, and the doctors told him it's not good for his health. And they told him he had to give up. And everyone kept telling him, oh, it's so difficult, it's so difficult, it's the most difficult addiction to give up, blah, 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 right? And he just decided one day, okay, done, I'm going to give this up. And he gave it up. And doctors were so surprised that he was able to give up smoking just like that, right? And then he came and he wrote about it.
Right.
He said the way he gave up is the urge, the problem is the urge to smoke. You have to walk through the urge to smoke without smoking.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah, that sums it up right there.
Right.
Yeah.
You walk through the urge to smoke without smoking.
Yeah, you notice the urge and you just, instead of smoking, you just don't smoke.
Right.
Yeah.
But people, oh, no, 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 I have the urge to smoke. How can I not smoke?
I need to smoke a little bit less. You know?
Yeah, all of this is going on. But mentally, we are limiting ourselves. We are totally limiting ourselves.
Yeah, it's amazing because there's this whole world of opportunities and comfort. What comfort does, convenience, is it says, I'm only allowing myself to have experiences within a very narrow range.
Exactly.
That is convenient for me. And there are, you know, there's quite a few of those because the world is quite convenient. But there's not that many of them. There's way more that are not convenient. And then the ones that aren't convenient tend to be more powerful. Like getting on a plane. Is it convenient? Kind of, but not really. It's easier to stay in your house than get on a plane. Like I could have not come here to this undisclosed location. But I got on a plane and it was fun. It's fun actually. Like when you embrace things that are supposedly slightly uncomfortable, they're not actually that bad once they're embraced. Some people, they just won't fly. They're afraid of flying and they won't leave their town. I mean, I know people who won't even leave their house, or they only leave their house to go to certain places, right? So they're completely trapped in their little situation.
Yeah, I know someone after 4 years of COVID, they're still not leaving their house.
Yeah, wearing a mask.
I mean, everyone is totally over COVID. I mean, COVID came, went. I got COVID so many zillions of times.
Exactly.
Calm, gone. But she's still at home.
Yeah.
Not left.
Parent wearing a mask in the house?
No, I haven't seen her wear a mask, but she hasn't left.
Yeah. And so what kind of life is that?
I know, right? Like, you're so limiting yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. This is such a devastating thing. So in essence, comfort is the enemy because there's a very narrow amount of convenient things that we're stuck in. And if we want to have better life, we have to go out of that little box to this much, much bigger selection of opportunities. And all of them are going to be uncomfortable, a little bit. But they're only uncomfortable temporarily. And then you get used to it. Like, you invited me to do a presentation at Peace Village, right? And I don't normally go to places like that, and I don't normally do presentations either. So that was uncomfortable on two levels, actually. But I thought, no, this is fine, you know, and I enjoyed it, you know, and it was great, and it was fun. So that expanded me from here to here, you know, and then there's other things, and it just keeps going. And the good thing is that when we expand out a little bit more, we get the experience of it and living through it. Not that it's like that big a deal, but it's an experience in our life. And then it goes, because I help people like do videos, and they say, oh, I don't want to do videos. And you say, well, just do some videos. And then they get the experience, and then they feel more comfortable and more confident, and then they do another one. And they think, well, I could write a book. And then I could do this, and I could do that. And it starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know.
Yes. You know, I do want to share with our listeners, this thing is, we have a lot more capacity, a lot more power than we give ourselves credit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a lot of power, right? And we are more expansive beings. we are the ones who are limiting ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so just believe in your expansiveness, believe in your power.
Right.
Because we do, right? Every one of us, we can do this.
Yeah.
You know, it's not if I'm able to do, you're not able to do, that's not the case.
No.
We can all do this.
Yeah. But being with Shireen in person, she has done so many uncomfortable things, actually, for such a long time, that nothing seems to really bother you that much. Do you know what I mean? Like you.
Thank you. Thank you for the blessing.
No. This is because I know you quite well nowadays. And your capacity to handle, because it's certain things that, like, I need a certain amount of sleep and I need this and this. And I'm like a bit of what did you call me? A
delicate darling.
Delicate darling. Oh, but so my level of what I consider comfort is like, oh.
No, I have to tell you a joke about Brother Michael. So in Peace Village, right? When we were in Peace Village, he was like, you know, the fairer sex, they need taking care of. Literally, he is fairer than me because I'm brown and he's kind of white.
Kind of white.
So definitely, but on other levels too, you're the fairer sex.
I'm just
delicate about everything.
No, because I live on my own and have all this, like, my little idiosyncrasies, and you know, so I'm used to like getting as much sleep as I like and having like an open schedule and not having any appointments and only certain people I talk to. So I come to a place where there's lots of people around and lots of things happening and like going to bed late, getting up really early and staying awake all day and not having a nap and different stuff like that. And Shireen's just like, whatever. She cooks loads and loads of different kinds of foods and constantly on the phone talking about random things to various different people and managing projects and just like boom, 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 boom. So your capacity for dealing with everything, I imagine it wasn't that big at the beginning,
definitely.
When you were younger, you were maybe a bit overwhelmed with some of the things you had to do. But then you had a full-time job and running a center helping people. So you've gone through challenging experience after challenging experience with no doubt discomfort, and it expanded from here to here to here to here to here to here. And then you recently did a course which you didn't do before, and it just keeps getting bigger. Can you share a little bit about how you felt? This is important. How did you deal with the discomfort personally?
Dealing with people's personalities and opinions, that was the hardest,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that takes up a lot of real estate
right.
in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the hardest. The other things, I really feel, I'm not just saying it, I really feel that every specialty I have, every gift I have was given to me by God. And He is doing it through me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just saying it, I really feel I am mm-hmm. just an instrument.
Right. Well, that's, so you have magic powers then?
Yes, I have God's
there
magic.
It is, right?
magic powers.
Exactly. Yeah, so if our life has a higher meaning and a higher path,
mm-hmm.
then we get special blessings, don't we? Yeah. So thank you, Shireen.
Blessing.
Ah, yes. Tell me the number.
33.
Your spiritual awakening is not an event waiting to happen, but a beautiful truth already blossoming. Your mind bestows the gift of kindness. You've become a beacon of transformative energy, continuously sharing your spiritual abundance.
Thank you, everyone, for being here till the end of the podcast. Thank you.
Well, hopefully you enjoyed it, and I hope you go out and go from this smaller world that you're having, where it might be quite a big one, but to the next level, and you'll feel so much more liberated in life.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.